Good morning. Today I would like to share with you some highlights of one biography of one very prominent leader of the Adventist Church in the Russian Empire and later in the Soviet Union. His name is Lepsak, Heinrich Johannovich Lepsak. He served the church in different capacities as a colporteur, assistant in evangelistic campaigns, and also evangelist, as a pastor, a president, and a secretary of different Russian fields. He also worked in the different places. And since, as you know, the Russian Empire was huge, and Soviet Union also, he lived and worked also in such places that belong now to Germany, Latvia, Poland, Russia, Ukraine, and others. Eventually, he became the first president of the All-Union Council of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the Soviet Union. So what is special about this person? Why his biography is significant? I would like to start with this quotation. "What is more, I consider everything loss because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." I think this is a very remarkable quotation, and it reflects very much the life and ministry of Heinrich Lepsak. You see this family photo, family picture. Heinrich Lepsak was born in a small German settlement in Frank village on the Volga River, Saratovskaya region. He was born to a Lutheran family, and actually the whole village was evangelical. It was a small village, and everybody, all the families knew each other. When he was just 15 years of age, he received some Adventist booklets from North America. He received them from a person who before lived in the same village, and then immigrated to USA, and he sent some booklets and tracts. And so when Heinrich received it, he read, and he was very convinced that the message is biblical. He believed and decided to share this message with his friends. Actually, he became like a young preacher, and because of his knowledge of the Bible and this interesting message, he was invited to many different places around this village, and he spoke to Lutheran congregation and Mennonite settlements as well. When he was 18 years of age, he married his cousin Maria Katerina Lepsak, and they had with her 5 children, 4 girls and 1 boy. They lived together 46 years. Till the day of his last arrest. On the year of his death, 1938, they would celebrate a golden wedding anniversary if he would not be in prison. Of course, he did not know that the day when he received and held this Adventist booklet in his hand, that this day would change his life forever. He did not know that this message would make him one of the first Adventists in the territory of the Russian Empire. He also did not know that he would meet the first Adventist preacher only 5 years after that. Can you imagine? He was not baptized. He did not meet any Adventist preacher, but he was living as an Adventist. When this German-Russian Adventist preacher visited his village 5 years after that in 1890, when Heinrich was just 20 years of age. He visited Heinrich, spoke with him and with his young wife. And this couple decided to become Adventist and to go out of the Lutheran church. And it was quite a scandal at that time. And his father became so angry that he decided to disinherit them. And it was quite a loss at the time of natural economy and when people depended a lot on parental support and family inheritance. So they went out of the Lutheran church and they became an Adventist, even not being baptized yet. The same year he went to Germany, to Hamburg, and he attended a Seventh-day Adventist school, mission school, for 6 months. He was baptized together with other 11 people in a river, and when he returned to Russia, he became a literature evangelist. The church sent him to 1,000 parts of Russia, and together with his cousin, he began to spread literature and conduct also evangelistic meetings. They underwent very many interesting experiences and also their first arrest. And actually, they met the new year, 1893, in a prison cell. Here you see another picture of his family later. Now you see four girls. And the last girl here, her name was Marta. I knew her from my childhood, and I felt very honored and fortunate that I knew at least somebody from his family. So after he was released from prison and after the court, when they received a permission to spread the literature, he became acquainted with more Adventists that live in the Russian Empire. And he also went to Germany with Bertheer and conducted evangelistic camps in Germany for 8 months. And when he came back to Russia, he also continued as an evangelist. Eventually, and I think that probably the church leaders also recognized the big capacity in this young fellow, and he was ordained in 1894 when he was just 24 years of age, and he became actually the first minister ordained in Russia. In 1909, he visited also General's Conference session, and actually it was at that time 37th General Session, and he was in the first group of Russian delegates that visited General Conference session. Interestingly, that they met Ellen White, and she had special meeting with the Russian delegation, and later she invited Lepsak to her house, and they had separate meeting as well. Lepsak became a prolific writer and leader, church leader. And he, everywhere he went, he had a great success in converting souls and preaching to their hearts. Here you see a picture also one of the meetings of church meetings abroad, and Lepsak is on my right, the last one. In 1920, he became the first president of the newly organized All Russian Union in the Soviet Union, actually All Union Council, not only for Russian Federation, but for USSR. He also was editor of the several journals that church published at that time. One of them was titled Maslina or Olive Tree. And in this journal, the church published Sabbath School Lesson in Russian language. So he was editor, and you can see him in the middle in his office with the two co-editors. But one of his contributions that was very remarkable was writing of the first book on Russian history, Russian Adventist history, for that territory of the world. It is interesting that in 1917, exactly at the year when Russia underwent several revolutions, the church leaders were concerned that young ministers, they did not know exactly the history. They did not know global Adventist history, and they also did not know, in particular, the history of Adventism in that part of the world. So they decided that somebody should write a book or something, some material for the young ministers. And church at that time was very young, just about 30 years, you know, of age in existence. So the church voted to ask Lepsak to write a book on Adventist history. And he started to write. At that time, he lived and worked in Kyiv, and it was time of civil war after October Revolution. He completed the book on May 1918. And it was the story of this book is very remarkable, because when he was writing it, the civil war is really going on in the city, in Kyiv. And when he recollected this experience, he wrote that, you know, dead bodies were laying on the streets in thousands. And, you know, struggle and fights were going on the streets. And even one day when he was writing a book and had just a short break, one bullet came through the window frame, straight to the stove where his desk stood. And he was fortunate that he left the desk just several minutes before that, otherwise he would be dead. And later his daughter remembered and said that we considered that an angel led him away for a short break, otherwise the book would not be completed. It's interesting that the manuscript was sent to publishing house in Germany at Hamburg, where the church published a lot of literature. And actually, it was sent there, but the book was never published. Because of the economical and political situation with the Soviet Russia and Soviet Union, and because of the civil war that was going on, shortage of paper, and many other difficulties. So the church leaders decided to translate the book, and they translated the book in 1920, 2 years later. And of course, they didn't have publishing house at that time, their own, so the typewritten copies were spread among ministers, and ministers received this book, where he described how Adventism started in United States of America, first periods of Adventism there, over there, and also in Russian Empire. But actually, because of many repressions and persecutions, this book was lost as well. And only later, in 2006, when church was going to celebrate anniversary of Adventist Church in Russia, they decided, 120 years of Adventist Church in Russia, they decided to search and to make a research about the pioneers. And they also made research, especially in the area when he started his ministry in Caucasus Union Mission. The church leaders made research and they found out that Lebsack wrote this book. So they were concerned, where is the book? And they started the search. One retired minister and church historian has submitted two copies, almost blind, that were hardly, you know, seen and very hard to read. But he submitted these copies, and actually these copies were not completed. It was kind of some parts of them, of the book. And fortunately, some parts in one book were more clear, some parts in another book were more clear as well. And it was two different translations that were made later, because the book originally was written in German language. And this was translation into Russian. Then they also found several chapters that were published in one of our Russian journals. And they began to reconstruct the book. And the book was reconstructed. And in 2006, 88 years after he wrote it, it was published in Russian language, and you can see the cover. He titled his book The Great Adventist Movement and Seventh-day Adventists in Russia. And now we can know from first-hand experience of Lebsack many things that happened at that time where he could be eyewitness of that. Now you can see several pictures of him and some church leaders. He became president of the whole church in Soviet Union, as I said, in 1920, and he led the church till the day of his arrest, where Stalin's repression started in 1934. So there were many meetings where he was participated and which he conducted. This is a picture of his family with some members of his family. We can see his, you can see his youngest daughter Marta and granddaughter Ruth. And behind them, you can see his son-in-law, Volkov, who also died in prison in 1935. Here you can see also church leaders with his daughter. Let me see. And in this picture, you can see his daughter standing behind him. This is another daughter, Rachel. And this daughter, when she was just 19 years of age, she was elected secretary and treasurer of the West Russian Union. She died in her 20s because of the epidemics, and she visited some sick church members, and she contracted the disease, and she died. Here you can see also some of his family, some members, his wife, his daughter Marta behind, and this little Ruth. And it looks like he had special relationship with this little girl Ruth. And when he was asked to go to the government officials and KGB people, they said that he always took Ruth with him, and she waited him in the park before the building. And nobody knew why he always took her with him. And the girl recollected later that she always waited for her grandpa sitting on the bench. She said, he never told me what should I do or why he was taking me together with him and why he did not allow me to go in the building. But we think that probably he never knew when he would be arrested. And so he took the girl, and girl was waiting in the park, probably if in case he would be arrested and would not appear, the girl could go home and tell the story that he did not come out of the building, probably because of that reason. He was arrested. You know that Stalin's repressions were very severe, and you can see that in 1930s, about, or even more probably, 3,000 Adventist members were subjected to repressions, and only 500 returned from prison camps. And out of 179 Adventist pastors arrested, only 4 pastors returned later. He was arrested on May 21 at night from 20 to 21 of March in 1934. That day, during the day, he was called to the government officials, and they were very nice to him. And they were so nice that he even suspected that something is going on and probably he would be the next to be arrested, because by that time many of the church members and pastors were in prison and some church buildings were already closed. So he suspected something, and that night this church leader, Grigoriev, he visited them and he stayed with them for the night. So he became an eyewitness of his arrest, and later he became a church leader of the Adventist Church in the Soviet Union. So he was eyewitness, and he said that the police, when the police came and arrested Lepsak and made everything upside down, searching for literature and some evidence of his guilt, the Heinrich Lepsak became he was very calm, actually, not nervous at all. And when they were taking him away, he turned to the brothers and family members, and he said these last words. And these words became as a will, his will to the Adventist Church in the Soviet Union. Brothers, walk and don't get discouraged. The God's course is like a river. Nobody can stop it. He was punched in the face and bleeding here. Turned his head again to the family members and brothers, and he repeated these words. Here you see the family picture of another daughter and her husband, who was also a pastor and also underwent several arrests. His daughter was also imprisoned and actually shot in prison in 1941. And here you see the picture of the congregation in Almaty, Kazakhstan. His wife knew about his arrest only 20, not arrest, but his death, only 20 years after that. And he even did not know what they did to him. And church historian and director of European Archive, Daniel Hines, who visited our church and who worked in the state archive when Yeltsin opened the archives, he found the files of Lepsak case, and he said that he could not find what they did to him. So nobody knew the last days of Lepsak. And his wife did not know what happened to him. Only 20 years after that, he received, or he knew that he was dead in, he died or he was shot in 1938 in prison. So she moved, and she and her daughter Marta, they moved to Almaty, Kazakhstan, and they settled there. And since I grew up in this church, I knew his youngest daughter, Martha, his granddaughter, Ruth, this little girl who became a lady when I was growing up, and his great-grandchildren. In this picture, you can see this little girl who grew up, Ruth. She is the last from the back. And his daughter is the third from my right over here. And here you can see his great-grandchildren, and this is a small group of Almaty congregation when the congregation was celebrated 90 years of Adventist message in the Russian Empire, or Soviet Union, probably it's better to say. So you can see two people that I put in squares. These are his great-grandson Alexander and his great-great-daughter Yelena. And this is his youngest daughter, Martha. And when my husband was a pastor of this church, he actually conducted funeral of his youngest daughter, Martha. And we feel honored that we became kind of a part of history of family of Lepsak. Every time when I read some biographies or study such kind of description of life of our pioneers, I ask myself a question. Can one person significantly influence the world? Could it be that one person could change a world? And I think that you know the answer. And I think that many pioneers exactly did like that. They did it. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And I ask myself, and what about me? Of course, the most comfortable question would be, what about us? But I would like and I suggest to ask myself, and to suggest to you to ask yourself, what about me? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you today for this brief description of Lepsak biography. He is one representative of many pioneers who were before us. We praise you that you make people like that they are brave and courageous, dedicated. And we would like to be like them. We would like to influence the people around us for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.